SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews, taking you inside the sport of kings. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM Online. And at our website as well, stevepick.com. Midweek and some important draw activity today at Keeneland, most notably, of course, with the Lexington on Saturday. And we've had such a busy 2 days already, recapping the weekend, that really have not kind of laid out the importance of the Lexington on Saturday. And I'm sure with Marty and with Jay and maybe even with Marcus, particularly though with Marty and Jay, considering, you know, their Derby watch activities, there's a scenario Saturday that I imagine has got Mandy Pope on pins and needles, because what you heard from Brad Cox on Monday with Tawny Port basically having only to, you know, finish no worse than fourth, that absolutely locks him into the Derby field, because he's got 40. And nobody's going to get above 40 coming out of the Lexington. But in due time for Kelly Breen and Bye Bye Bobby for Todd Fincher, they've got 20. So their, you know, their potential to win and garner the 20 points would put them at 40, and then you add in, it's a $400,000 purse. So add another $240,000 to their earnings, and that is going to leapfrog Charge It. So assuming Tawny Port, second, third, or fourth, let's say, moves up the ranks and would end up, kind of, let's see, 8 points would... Doesn't look like he could be better than 16th on the point scale. Yeah, because Morello and early voting have got 50. So 8 points, 4 points, 2 points puts him 16th, period. But if Bye Bye Bobby or In Due Time were to win, they would have 40 and their earnings would be more than Charge It's $188,000. And so Charge It would push to 21st and would then have to await a defection, or at this point, when everybody's on pins and needles, every morning you walk in, you you go over your Derby horse with a fine-tooth comb, you unwrap those wraps, and... you take him out of mothballs, the bedding that is above the knee. It's pretty funny. Yeah, if you could, they literally, they say, pack him in cotton, in those bubble wrap. So that's a scenario that is going to come into focus here leading into the weekend. Do I think the Charge It is going to end up eclipsed and not get in? No, I don't. I mean, I imagine it would be fairly close to unprecedented, I imagine, if none of the current group of those that have earned their way in, it would be unprecedented, really, if nobody spiked a fever or something didn't, you know, go amiss, because there's too many horses and there's too much time. So you hope against hope that nobody has to have that frustration after you know, so much goes into getting to this point. But, you know, that awful comment made famous in in terms of endearment. I always tell my patients, hope for the best and prepare for the worst. To which Shirley MacLaine says, and they let you get away with it. Well, if you had Shirley MacLaine on your if you had Aurora Greenway on your bingo card today, you're a winner. You were all winners yesterday. For those of you that file taxes, how much that was so great. Len Green, it's hard to come away. You would think it's hard to come away from a chat about taxes, you know, ready to stand up and cheer. He's like an evangelist, right? He's the tax evangelist. He loves talking about it and loves saving the client's money. That's a, you know, if you're an accountant, right? That's, you're motivated. You love numbers. You know, Tina's a math teacher, and you know, she loves how math works and all the, you know, the interesting things about how numbers work together. So that's number one, I think, for the people that are in the accounting field. You got to have a certain mentality, and you know, then it's I don't want to say it's like a ball game or a title fight or horse race, but you know, you want to prepare your tax work and your papers. They want to win. You want to get every possible advantage. That's what Len, the Green Group, and I heard from Len later, and thanked him again. He had fun, and he said he got feedback already. So if anybody needs help, greenco.com. And, of course, I got to thank everybody that responded. In looking at the GoFundMe, the Julio Pazua FundMe that we talked about with Aaron and with Anthony Stabile yesterday morning. If you heard the replay, you maybe heard it for the first time this morning, but just a tremendous response. And I'm going to guess, I looked at it a few hours ago, but I'm going to guess it's hit the $20,000 goal that Aaron set, because it was tracking, I mean, just at a remarkable clip. I mean, literally, well, basically a little under $1,000 an hour, it seemed, was being accrued. And it is, it's over 21,000, but don't, you know, every little bit even beyond is going to help, because this is, it's going to be, it's always, you know, these vertebrae injuries, and hopefully, you know, I have the feeling and everything comes back, particularly in Julio's hands and arms. But thanks to everybody. I saw so many names that I recognized among listeners and, you know, Facebook friends and, you know, certainly, you know, the other jockeys. In fact, here it looks like Chris McCarron in the last hour. Chipped in $1,000 from Wesley Ward. In fact, I wanted to get a hold of Wesley for a variety of reasons, not the least of which we haven't adequately lauded Golden Pal. I mean, this is a scary, scary good giant talent, and you know, it's one thing to be a juvenile star and it'll keep the momentum going. He's getting better, and it's It's very impressive. In fact, I saw where CJ Milkowski and David Aragona, I don't know if it's on their Pacecast, you know, the time form conversation that they do each week, but I think CJ floated the suggestion that this is the best North American turf sprinter to date, which is an interesting discussion, actually. And it's still, you know, it's a relatively young category, right? Overall. So, we'll see about getting Wesley in here. A quick survey. I didn't really fill the docket, or overfill the docket for this morning. To be honest, the last 2 days, tongue's hanging out a little bit here midweek. Dick Powell's going to join us. And in fact, we're right in the midst of the Happy Valley card. And let me get Dick. There's 3 minutes to post in this Morrison and then 30 minutes to that's the sixth. And then the seventh, I just hit a very nice exacta using form to win. Unbelievable. I literally, because it was getting close to showtime, and I hadn't really watched Happy Valley this morning because I did a write-up for Keeneland. It's a very nice card at Keeneland, but just looking at the weather maps earlier, and the weather, not so nice yet again. And not cold, it doesn't look like, but rainy. So there's not, if I'm not mistaken, there's only one turf race in the Pick 5 sequence, right? In fact, there's only one turf race on the entire card, the sixth. And there are two MTOs, should it come off. I kind of hope it doesn't. Years ago, they, you know, here's my dentist calling. And, you know, I had that cracked tooth, and I had to go yesterday to the surgeon, and they checked, they did the x-ray to see about the whatever they do for the implant, you know, they put a base in, and then you have to wait 3 months for it to firm up. So they gave me the okay to now get the cosmetic, you know, I'm going to get a plastic tooth, I guess. I don't know what they make them out of, but I leave them a message yesterday. I say, I'm unavailable from 9 to noon. I can come see you afternoon to get measured for this tooth. But I can't, I'm completely unavailable 9 to noon. When do they call? 9:10. It's just unbelievable. Right? Am I right? Is it me? Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. So now they'll leave a message. I'll call back. Oh, we could have seen you. I'm not available till 12:01. I mean, just amazing how they operate. It's just crazy. I'd like to get this thing measured so that when I come back from Derby, it'll be ready. Because they say it takes 3 weeks to 3 weeks to make a new tooth. So I'd like to get it done today because, of course, we're heading out tomorrow and we'll be gone 3 weeks. Dick Powell, good morning.
Steve, you went to an oral surgeon?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me?
We already had this discussion. When I went to the oral surgeon, you got a guy. You got a relative, right? It's a son-in-law?
I raised him since he was 8 years old. So, yeah.
How about that? Well, it was kind of an emergency situation.
I know.
You know, Tina tells me all the time. She says to me all the time, get on the air and ask who can help you with XYZ.
Exactly.
And I'm recalcitrant, you know, because, I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna oblige the, you know, the listeners to, you know. But No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so I tell them I'm available at a certain period of time, and they specifically call when I tell them I'm not going to be available. Just unbelievable. Dick, what's your opinion? I just hit the exacta in the fifth, which was really nice for $85, and it looks here like HK Dragon is way the horse to beat, but after him, it's pretty wide open.
Well, he drew us post 12, so I'm not crazy about him. I didn't spend a lot of I spent all the time on the last three.
Pick three, okay.
I didn't really,
that's fine.
Focus too much on this one.
That's all right. Well, I didn't get a bet in because we were coming on the air, but I did put out the snapshot on Form to Win, and HK Dragon is there. But it's not just him. In fact, now I'm trying to go back to it. Here we go. Red Impact and Fast Pace both had a little bit of a look. Fast Pace is 7-1, and Red Impact 6-1. And here they're off. Let's pick it up.
Legend and maybe the top three as they come past us on their first occasion. Red Impact is down on the rail, followed there by Fast Pace as they've sorted their order out very quickly as they charge into the first turn. Soaring Tower midfield over on the rail from Alligator, Two Links, La Puda. Then came Universal Go-Go, Kairos Unicorn, HK Dragon, and back last of all is Smart Patch. Inside the 1,200 metres, 27.99, and it's More Than Enough who's opened up a margin of 3.5 lengths. E-Legend second around Red Impact and a length and a half to Baby, camped on the outside of Fast Pace as they corner into the back. Two lengths away midfield is Alligier, around Soaring Tower. Kairos Unicorn, a little keen, and then came La Puta. A length and a half to HK Dragon. The favourite's got two behind him. They are Smart Patch and Universal Go-Go. Heading to the 650. They're closing up the gaps a little, and the speed's been poured on up front here. More Than Enough, E-Legend, two lengths clear. On a shaken up Red Impact. Baby's under pressure, Fast Pace. Alligier's flat to the boards. So too is Soaring Tower. Kairos Unicorn, Smart Patch, La Puda. HK Dragon's 12 off the lead as they come towards the home turn. And Universal Go-Go last. E-Legend has gone straight past More Than Enough. Put a gap of three lengths on Red Impact. And then came Fast Pace. Baby down the outside. Kairos Unicorn and Alligier. It's E-Legend in front who put it to More Than Enough at the 600. And that was the winning move. E-Legend has beaten Red Impact. Third Baby from Fast Pace, and then came Kairos Unicorn. HK Dragon's beaten about half the field in, but was a long way off them on the turn.
How about that, Dick? I got to tell you, the HK Dragon, when it came to the way Form to Win saw it, with the adjustment for distance, on pure analysis, HK Dragon was right there. But then when you adjusted to the 1600 distance, it suddenly HK Dragon was not as dominant, and sure enough, had left with too much to do. Unfortunately, the two interesting horses at 6-1 and at 7-1, 6-1 and 6-1 and 7-1, they run second and fourth. So I didn't bet, but I would have been second and fourth in here.
Yeah. For some reason tonight, Inside is doing very well. I don't know if it's just the way certain races unfold, but the horses that have been on the inside have not been run down. And there was one race where Joe was back in 10th place turning for home, and he made this dipsy doodle move up the inside, one going away that the track announcer said he bamboozled them. So... he went to the rail. There was another rail winner. This horse, once they turned for home, no one on the outside was making up the ground that oftentimes you see in Hong Kong, where the wide closers just have so much momentum they're impossible to keep off. But yeah, a nice win with the other one, and ironically your winner there in the previous race was sired by So You Think, who won three Group 1 races at Royal Randwick Friday night. He had a monstrous night as a sire. And is now the leading sire in Australia with a month or two left in the season. So You Think, who does not have the sprinters. He does not have Golden Slipper runners and, you know, Everest-type runners and stuff like that. They're all going a mile or farther. But he's put together a tremendous season down there. They raised the stud fee. It had dropped down to $33,000. They raised it back up $67,000. And he gets well over 200 mares a year. So he had a gigantic night. But you will see horses in Hong Kong win for him. And this one, he had the race five. That one won. Tony Cruz has a horse named Buddies, who is kind of like a 7 furlong specialist. But his, you know, in Australia, they want to go long. And they did it Friday night with 3 Group 1 wins. So.
Nice.
One of my all-time favorite horses. I mean, just he won 5 Group 1s in Australia. He was purchased by Coolmore and some real, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, everyone down there expected Godolphin was going to buy him. And Coolmore kept the original owner involved in the partnership. And they wound up getting him. They bring him north. It goes to Aidan O'Brien. Aidan O'Brien just couldn't believe the horse, but never really figured him out. And he won his last start at Ascot. And had he not gotten hurt, it was possible he was going to go in the Eclipse against Frankel, because Frankel had stretched out to 1.25 miles at that point. So that would have been fun for me to watch. And you know, Aidan made this amazing statement apologizing to the people of Australia for basically said, I mucked it all up. The horse had natural speed, and he basically did everything to take the speed out of him, you know, making him like a hold-up type horse, and that was not his game. And a big turnaround factor was Joseph O'Brien. Joseph worked him every morning and then started riding him, and Joseph rode him for better speed. And Aidan even got a hold of Bart Cummings and talked to Bart Cummings about, you know, Bart was the original trainer, was not happy to lose him. Best horse he ever had, and now he's gone. But so he kind of redeemed himself. And he won 5 Group 1s in Europe. It wasn't like he was a failure, but he wasn't the dominant horse that he could have been. So he's luckily and nicely in the story, still getting it done as a sire.
Well, we got a bunch to talk about, and we'll also look ahead to the 7th, and we'll get the pick 3 idea from you. But before that, one international story that I have not reported yet and was toying with reaching back for Nick Luck, but I suppose I can broach it with you too. The Grand National result on Saturday early afternoon.
Steve, I did not watch the Grand
National. You didn't watch the Grand National?
I think the race should be banned.
Oof, you're on the opposite. Look at you. Interesting.
Well, just look at 40 horses ran. 2 died. And that's not that unusual for the Grand National, even though they've made the course a little bit easier and less rigorous. But no, I won't watch it. It's just, to me, it doesn't exist.
Interesting. I've not heard your voice
barbaric.
This before. Well,
I would carry a sign if I was there. I would be one of the people that runs out on the course and lays down and do something.
A dick. But here's the problem with this, with that. I mean, where is there a line to draw exactly?
I know. Whoever the line is, their record is way past the line, and it just provides fodder for our opponents.
Well, that topic actually came up this week domestically too. With in fact, it's been a discussion point at our Derby Trail, and this involves the Maryland gaming authorities answering animal activists and giving them a bludgeon. When everybody in the industry understood implicitly that Bob Baffert isn't running horses for 90 days, and somehow the activist groups are using a Maryland Commission acknowledgement that the suspension is being honored in Maryland as it is in any jurisdiction, and they're out there using it as a fundraising tool, claiming how they successfully prevented Baffert from running in the Preakness. And the, it is that Marty Irby, who is as disgusting and as vile an individual as you're going to find, and it's a crowded field over there, claiming how they've prevented our, we've been successful, and using it as a tool to raise money and to garner, you know, more fervor. And the whole thing is revolting.
Yeah, it's well, it's part of the sausage making of democracy. You have public hearings, you have public comment periods, and you have people get up with agendas, and facts don't matter. So they're able to take advantage of the stage, and I support their right to have their comments. I don't agree with them, and I wish we would do a better job. But yeah, I mean, look at New York. New York puts out a press release about the Baffert thing as if New York, it was the Kentucky Racing Commission. The court denied the stay, and now Bob had to serve the 90 days. So yeah, every state that reciprocates is going to honor the 90 days. No one took any action here or Maryland or anywhere else. Kentucky's the one that did it. And that's the way the process works. But there was some virtue signaling in that process where some of these groups were like, yes, we banned them for 90 days. All right.
Yeah, you know, I saw some people, discussing how, oh, Baffert's not going to be allowed. What do you mean? It's not even a debate. It wasn't even a discussion point. And I'm not sure why. I suppose as a government agency, there's a certain amount of, you know, what is it, the public information type things to acknowledge. But to somehow open, you know, that door I suppose it's just part of the whole underhanded posture that you know that the animal activist types utilize to raise money, essentially. I mean, we had this discussion with David Fuskus last week. I had him for the first time, and he talked. He made it very clear what their. I mean, they've got their announced goal, but parallel to that goal is to print money by playing on people's emotions and fears.
Yeah. And when you feel, I'm looking for the word. When you have that level of self-righteousness, then tactics do not matter. It's all for the common good. So whatever the end is, the means are all justified, because the end is, you know, holy in their mind. So they're willing to do anything and say anything. Yeah.
Well, I do want to at least your Grand National concerns aside, I should mention Sam Whaley Cohen, because it was quite a, as always, it produces drama on its, just inherently given what's involved. But Sam Whaley Cohen, who's an amateur rider, this was going to be his last ride, his last career start, and he wins on his father's horse. I mean, the whole thing, it was just 50-1, and from that standpoint, from storylines, it had kind of a magical Hollywood script to it. So That was your outcome, and really none of the principles that we had discussed with Nick Luck and also the horses that Kevin kind of focused on the long shot lad. This one got overlooked, and should mention Manila Times that was a faller with Rachel Blackmore, and that mare that had foaled and then came back into training, Snow Leopardess, she left the course and was pulled up on the second go around. So some of the other, big stories faded away. But this was quite a story, I thought, and I wanted to at least acknowledge.
And you picked the wrong guy to talk about.
That's all right. Listen, Dick, we're never concerned when it comes to letting, having you voice your thoughts. It's always valuable. One story too, before we dive in, that is here, has really been a couple of days worth of stories. Haven't mentioned yet the situation at Grants Pass, which is too bad. They basically pulled up their meet yesterday, and they're not going to conduct a meet. They had been looking to a historic horse racing parlor called the Flying Lark, and the governor and the state attorney general have refused to authorize it. So Grants Pass doesn't feel they've got the horses or the finances to underpin a meet. So they canceled. Feel bad for, I saw, my first notice of it was Jason Beam, who of course is called there, and really it helped Grants Pass kind of get into a get some public notice from horse players. The other story, Dick, that I was sort of saving for you, Lisa Lazarus and the Heisa team starting to stoke up the coal car, and starting to make the rounds in the trades. And on Monday, I'm losing track of the day. Yeah, Monday.
Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
She's been there both days.
At RCI, talked about seemingly close to a deal with a monitoring agency, essentially, that would do the role that USADA had been expected to do. And she also, if you didn't see the piece at, I saw it at Bloodhorse, is calling on the industry to work with HISA and to give them, every chance to do this successfully. Which, if it's going ahead the way it seems to be, that's what everybody wants, certainly.
And I was glad that Ed Martin and the board of directors from RCI had HISA there to make presentations, to directly answer questions, to have that kind of access, which has not been the case throughout the HISA process. They talk about willing to work with people, but oftentimes decisions are already made and then they want your comment instead of working on something before it's finalized. So that part was good. It sounded like it went well. It sounded like they still got a lot of things to do. And I still don't understand the money part and budget and who's paying for it and all those scary questions. But
well, and one of the details that Chuck Simon went through the rules that the Federal Trade Commission had okayed, and one Chuck sent me a thing the other day, and it was circled about the continuing education portion, and we're not talking about continuing education for trainers. Part of the rules in there include continuing education for owners. And there'll be real curiosity as to what that's going to entail. And is that going to be a barrier to licensing? And there's some short strokes here that seem to be like that overpass in speed, the section that hadn't been finished.
Yeah, it was virtually impossible for them to try to do what they tried to do. And doing it the way they did it made it impossible. So, yes, there are big, big gaps and a lot of questionable things, and also kind of a lack of priority. Like the only real priority they have that they have to abide by are the milestones that they have to, by right. this date, have this done. So that forces that issue to be a priority, even though there might be other things equally important. And it's kind of scattered approach, and it's, you know, I want it to work. I want racing to be better and to be better adjudicated and regulated and all that, but not the way I would have gone about it. So,
well, yeah, no, we've made that we're all the whole time we've kind of tried to hold up that stop sign. All right, Dick, we got about 7 minutes to the seventh race at Happy Valley. Let's get this pick three going. And what are we doing in the seventh?
Okay, race seven, we're going two turns, 1,650 meters. These are class three. Good, solid group of horses. The favorite is the four, Beauty Glory. Went gate to wire last time out. Nice, solid effort. No, I'm sorry, got run down, had a neck lead and finished third, so comes back with the same weight. Joe Moreira picks up the mount, draws the rail. Joe's going to have to hustle him away from the gate to keep from getting shuffled back, but he seems to have more than enough natural speed, and it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of speed in this race. So I think Joe even has the option of just trying to make all, especially the way that the track is playing tonight. So I would not be surprised if Joe leaves from post one and puts number four, Beauty Glory, on the lead. I think he's 3-1 Hong Kong, 2-1 over here, favorite. The two I'm going to use in addition are number two, Gallant Crown, who had a nice rally last time out to get up for third at Happy Valley. Ruin Meyer is a rider who's not on the tip of everyone's tongue, but he's had a good solid season and has been very good the last couple of months. Post 10 is kind of an odd thing, Steve. I looked up various statistics, and post 10 you can win from. The extreme posts I don't like, 11 and 12, but post 10 is not that bad. So we'll see what kind of trip he can work out from there. Probably be behind and make a wide rally. And also we'll use number 9, Right Honorable, who seems to be taking some money. It was 9.4. Before, I think he's down to like 7 now. Matthew Chadwick, red hot, 2 winners already tonight. Rallied real strong the last 2 starts at Sha-Tin. Back to Happy Valley, where he has won before, has a pretty good record at Happy Valley. So he's versatile enough to handle both tracks. He draws post 2, so I think he sets up a nice trip in behind the speed. So the first leg is going to be 2, 4, and 9. Race 8 is the second leg. I'm going to go 3 deep here. I'm going to throw out the 11 and 12. Going 6 furlongs. 11 and 12 are just very tough to overcome. And I'm going to go with number 5, Party Warrior, with Zach Purden, who had a good win at 2 back. Second, last time out, draws post 5. So no apparent excuses here. Number 8 will be the favorite. Joe Moreira, John Size have seasoned the moment. Draws post 6, comes off 2 really solid races. Once again, it'll be tough. And a long shot, I'm going to throw in here number 9, California Redwood. I was actually taking money, so not the long shot I was hoping for. He made his Hong Kong debut at 54-1, but he did have some form overseas. Didn't run bad, rallied, got up for second behind the undefeated Lucky Swainus. So now Matthew Kuhn gets the mount for Tony Cruz. They draw post nine, which is okay going six, especially with the rail out a little bit. He'll have a clear shot to get into that first elbow. So second leg, we're going to go 5-8-9. So 2-4-9 with 5-8-9. And then the last leg, we narrowed it down to two pretty logical horses. Number two, Toronado Phantom, Wagner Borges, rides this one for John Size. He's run into Lucky Swainus in his last two starts, has a second and a fourth against him. Draws post four today for this 1,200-meter sprint. Should be okay. I'm leaving out the favorite, number four, Eason, because he drew post 12. And I'm going to throw in number nine, Stock Legend, who drew the rail for Zach Purton. He has a couple of races where he drew 12 and 11. You could kind of toss them. And when he drew the rail last time out, he was a good second behind Eason. So Eason is probably the better horse, but if I got my pick between the rail and the 12, I'm going to take the rail. So I'm going to go 2-9 in the third leg of the pick three, try to beat Eason out there in post 12. So 2-4-9 with 5-8-9 with 2-9.
Very good. $18. Pick three, 2-4-9 with 5-8-9 with 2-9. And let's see, we're about 2 minutes to post, and for those that I didn't get a chance to put up the form to win snapshot, but I can tell you that they're not crazy. The way I used 1600 to 1700 as the distance, I went too long, right? Because this is actually 1600, right? Yeah.
This is 1650.
Okay. So all right. So I'm a little on the long side. I went 1600 to 1700 as my distance parameter, and they're not crazy about Beauty Glory in here. But that sometimes when it comes to class movers, that happens, and they ignore. I mean, listen, they ignored HK Dragon in the sixth, and it proved out. But the two that you mentioned, Gallant Crown, in repeatedly without distance parameters and with the distance parameters, Gallant Crown is the horse that Form to Win leans on, 6-1. That two horse.
Yeah, and what they're right with number four, Beauty Glory, in the sense that his form is declining. Now, he did have a couple of bad draws in there, but his rating has gone from 75 to 73 to 71 to 69. So he's not a real progressive type horse. He has not been finishing his races off well, although last start he did. He held on for third, beaten just under two lengths behind Pack and Award, who's a very solid horse. So in declining form, and with the price being where it is, I mean, I got to use it, but it's...
Yeah, defensive.
It's a horse you want to beat with your others.
Well, the other two, I put three together. The other two that Form to Win has some interest in, the 12, who leaves from the five hole, Let's Do It, with Lyle Houston, who has taken money, 6-1 for Let's Do It, the 12. And then if there is a big price that Form to Win has got an interest in, it's Ready Player One, the 8, who's going to have to work out a trip under Harry Bentley from the 11 hole, 24-1, and has been very cold on the board, 7-1 morning line, and right now 24-1. So a little bit of 12 and 8 with the 2 on Form to Win.
Yep.
The red light is flashing.
The red light is on.
They'll
be loading momentarily.
All right.
I'll remind everyone, I'll do it before I finish. Don't forget, we race Friday night, Saturday morning. because of Easter Sunday. So we will not be racing this Sunday morning. We'll be racing this Saturday morning at Shotton.
Well, it's good to see they've got the same respect for Easter Sunday that we do here in New York.
Where we don't race at all.
Where we can't do anything. Oh, but you can buy lottery tickets.
And if I'm not mistaken, are the VLT places open on Easter Sunday?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. That's a good question.
I think they are.
Of course they are.
At least we had racing on Palm Sunday last week.
Yes, that was a huge innovation. This was one of Steve Criss' favorite pet topics, was the lunacy involving Easter and Palm Sunday in this state. Crazy, crazy. But we can't on Sunday. We won't be able to bet. You know, for those of us in New York, you won't be able to play at all. Just about set for the seventh at Happy Valley, the Canal Handicap.
Beauty Glory off the inside, the fave, they're racing. And he was just half a stride slow, Beauty Glory. Beauty Nova gets back as well. And one of the first out was Happy Daily. Nothing new, pushing forward. Ready Player One, let's do it. Beauty Glory over on the inside, Right Honourable. So they're four and five deep into the first turn. They're in turn followed by, on the inside, co-partner Fion, Amazing One Plus, Gallant Crown. Now Nothing New's being caught four deep in his press. Pressing forward, followed by Helene Wisdom Star, and then came Beauty Nova, and back last of all is Villa Fion. So up the side they run, 27.94, pretty much on standard, and it's the favourite Beauty Glory with his head on his chest. He shows out here by a length. Second is Happy Daily, covering ground, three deep around, let's do it, and Right Honourable in the trail. Three deep with cover is Nothing New from Ready Player One and co-partner Fion on the rail, a length to Gallant Crown. Helene Wisdom Star, there goes Villa Fion pressing forward down the back of the track from Amazing One Plus, and Beauty Nova is the last one. It's the 2.2 favourite in front, Beauty Glory, showing out by three quarters on Happy Daily. Nothing New up on the outsides, covered ground throughout, followed by Right Honourable, let's do it, Ready Player One. Next is co-partner Fion, Villa Fion, Gallant Crown, Helene Wisdom Star, Amazing One Plus, and Beauty Nova. It's Beauty Glory lining them up below the 300 metres. Nothing New is there to challenge Right Honourable. Happy Daily weakening. Co-partner Fion, let's do it. Ready Player One out wider. Amazing One Plus diving down to the inside. It is Nothing New in front. Co-partner Fion, Amazing One Plus up the inside, is driving hard at the post. Nothing New. He breaks his maiden status tonight. From Barrier 12, he's been too good. Nothing New for Zach Purton. From Amazing One Plus up the inside, who charged with co-partner Fion in a photo with Beauty Glory and Ready Player One. Let's do it. Out wider was Villa Fion, and then we had Gallant Crown towards the inside. Right Honourable behind those runners. Happy Daily weakened in the straight. Helene was
wow. Wow. Dick. You know, not to just rely on how form to win snapshots these races. I mean, it's a speed algorithm, and that's, you know, when it came to this particular short-priced favorite, 6-5 domestically, North America, this horse, you know, couldn't see it through. And so you end up with Nothing New, who was what, second choice? Yeah, 7-2 second choice. And Amazing One Plus 26-1, and we'll wait to sort out third and fourth. But the favorite gets swallowed up late.
Zach did it from post 12. I mean, he's 4-5 wide going into the first turn, and
yep.
Once Joe moved up and took the lead, I thought it was over. He had the horse so relaxed and comfortable, and the Beauty Glory just looked fantastic, and Joe's out there without cover, racing wide, just not the trip that usually wins going 16-15.
No, he was in fact on the call he said covering ground all the way, and so 7-2 over 26-1, Amazing One Plus, and the seven, co-partner Flan with Vincent Ho, was 22-1. So you're going to have a big try here, and the favorite did hang on for fourth. Beauty Glory fourth. 5174 in the seventh at Happy Valley. And so we kind of got quashed here a little bit, Dick.
Yeah, this, speed collapsed, and I threw out the winner because of the post position 12. And if you told me he was going to get that kind of trip, I would say I definitely don't like it.
Exactly. Right.
And he still overcame it. So he ran great. The eights flying at the wire. Yeah, that, that was, that's the second winner of the night for Zach. Joe has two already. Second winner of the night for Doug White, the trainer, who, by the way, was 13-time leading jockey in Hong Kong, has now gone into the training ranks and is doing well this year. So he's getting it done. And Zach has now 101 wins. Joe has 102 going into the last couple of races tonight. Now, last Sunday, Stevie, quickly, we didn't have any stake races, but we had a lot of good horses race. Race one was a 5-furlong sprint. It was won by Wonderful Warrior, Casper Founds, Joe Marrera, odds on favorite, won 56.32. Just what a great debut he had. Then later in the card, Nervous Witness, who's owned and trained by the same people that have, no, not maybe not trained, the same people that had the great Silent Witness, Archie De Silva. This horse has been red hot. He won a 5-furlong straightaway class two in 55.85. Running Glory came back in the next race at 4-5 for John Size. He won. Bazinga won the ninth race, class three. He's now 3-for-3. So that's a horse to keep track of, especially with next year's four-year-old series. And the last race of the day was won by Silver Express. And Marcus Hirsch did a fantastic story in the racing form, not only just on Silver Express, but all the information that's been given out on him that you can readily find. Him and every other horse racing. He was lame in his last start. He had to pass a bunch of tests. Marcus went through his daily routine, which is available, swimming, round pen, all the normal things that you do to get a horse back, his barrier trial. And then sure enough, John Size had him ready to go, and he won a pretty important class two, 7-furlong sprint. So Marcus did a great job just articulating all the safeguards that are there for bettors, so that even though you saw the horse return lame, you had pretty good degree of confidence that he wouldn't be out there if he wasn't sound for tonight's race. And just went through all the things that are available when you go through the form guide.
Nice. We'll talk to Marcus. Marcus was all keyed up to have Golden 60 come back and perform. So,
well, and coming up in 2 weeks, not this weekend, the following weekend, or the Champions Day, we're not going to have any shippers because of the quarantine rules. Now there's not going to be any Japanese horses or anybody else, but the local horses have put together three sensational fields and highlighted by the Champions Mile, which will have Golden 60 against California Spangle, who won the mile and an eighth four-year-old race and almost won the Hong Kong Derby. Now he turns back to a mile. He's obviously very fast, will probably be on the lead. And Golden 60, probably stalk him from third or fourth, and should be a fascinating race, fascinating tactical race, because you might see a little bit slower pace than normal. But those races are coming up in 2 weeks, three Group 1 stake races at Sha Tin.
Excellent. Dick, before we go, just got a couple of minutes to the top of the hour. Sid's going to join us next. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hale & Dale. Quick thoughts about the big Saturday. Who impressed you?
You know, I thought this past Saturday's three-year-olds were much better than the previous Saturday's three-year-olds. So I thought there were some serious horses that were on the track. It looks like Chad has done a great job bringing his horse to Boyle at the right time. I thought the run Happy Horse ran extremely well, being three wide. Most of the trip, taken over. Couldn't hang on, but still, I thought he ran well. And the amazing thing is I bet Neil Pessin's horse, not a three-year-old. And she's back where she always is. She blows by the field.
Yep.
Takes the lead. And then the four horse, who she had already passed, is back in gear and got to the outside and ran Neil's horse down. And partially owned by Todd Mosteller.
Yep.
And Todd was in the winner's circle with his wife. And Todd was involved with Terrace, who once won the...
That's right.
What's the seven furlong race in October?
The Masters.
And yes, and just one 14 buyer, went to Fazek Tipton a couple weeks later, sold for $2.15 million.
Yep.
So now he's back involved with another really good Pennsylvania horse, ran at Presque Isle last year, now with Brad Cox. And boy, when you look at her schedule, I mean, she has all these big seven furlong races for her, Ballerina, and the Keeneland Fall, and the Churchill Downs. And boy, they're looking at a big year. Nice to see. So happy to see. I texted Todd after the race, and I'm sure I was not the only one, and there's lots of partners involved in that horse. So it was great to see all those people in the infield at Keeneland. But yeah, the racing was really good this weekend, and then the Tiber, however you pronounce it.
Tiber, yep.
March debut, six furlongs, nine furlong Grade One stake. Hello, Kentucky Derby. It's just, why not? All the things we say that can't be done, well, if someone showed up with 10 starts going into the Derby, you'd throw the horse out. You'd say, oh, come on. I know the average used to be such and such, but that's not going to work. So the number keeps going from 4 to 3 and pretty much now 2. So who's to say? And he was good. I mean, he wasn't just, oh, yeah, he won the San Diego Derby.
Yeah.
He was real good. So lots of storylines for this year's Derby. I try to stay away from that. You know, I try to stay away from the narratives. The narratives get you in trouble betting. So just try to stick with the facts.
There is that side of it where you get caught up. It does seem like we're not in that era anymore where, you know, there were all those derby bugaboos and the hoodoos, and that they've pretty much gone by the wayside.
And then yesterday, the biggest punch in the gut, Gilbert Godfrey. Oh, my God.
Well, and
I
didn't realize how, I mean, I knew he'd had some health issue, but didn't know he was that sick. And I reached out to Lenny Shulman, who, you know, Lenny, he's been, I mean, obviously Lenny wrote for Dice Clay, but Lenny, Gilbert was his North Star in comedy. So Lenny, I knew was going to be very, very upset. And so thoughts to the family. Yeah.
I literally just watched a couple of days ago his roast of Roseanne, and he's calling her Rosilla. Like she's a Japanese horror monster. The stuff he did was, oh, God, it just... You talk about, and then there's a sensational bit with him and Norm, and it can't even be repeated on satellite radio. I would risk multiple sclerosis for the opportunity. Fill in the blank.
he I saw some people say, well, no filter. It's not that he didn't have a filter. He had a filter. He was oblivious to the repercussions of any. It just was willing to push the envelope where others, you know, would pull themselves up, Tina was. She was like, "Ugh, his voice." I said, "No, you gotta see through the voice." I mean, he was just hysterically funny. He would make you double. One of those people that would make you double over and howl in laughter because he was just so irreverent and just so funny.
And he would make other comedians over and laughter.
Yeah, no, that
you know, and.
Yeah.
And that comedian. Competitive environment that he was amazing. That took the air out of me yesterday when I saw that.
Well, there's that unbelievable picture that he put up Louis Anderson and. I never cared. I never really watched his show that died, you know, from the head, from the banged his head and died.
Bob Saget.
There's a picture that Gilbert, when Bob Saget died, he put, or when Louis Anderson died, the picture of the three of them together. And it's really sad. I mean, I just, you know, guys you grew up with. It's funny, the Saget, I get why people adored Saget. I never found him, I understand he's funny, but I never watched that show. I mean, I just didn't have the same. Louis Anderson, I thought was hysterical.
Yeah, I was the same way with Bob Saget, and Louis Anderson did this bit on Mad TV with Family Feud.
Yes, yes.
And God.
Yeah, yeah.
They bring out Mike Tyson.
he was...
Harry Spears plays Mike Tyson. I try to, every day, if I'm not laughing with somebody, I try to find something that's going to make me laugh because it just helped so much, and Gilbert was automatic.
Yeah,
they didn't have to worry. Oh, I want to watch this one. No, it doesn't matter. Whatever pops up, you're gonna laugh your head off.
Well, the other day, I'll send you something that'll make you laugh. Somebody wrote about. I saw somebody had made a reference about grapefruit juice, and so I sent them what I consider the funniest 5 minutes of stand-up I've ever heard, which is the Grapefruits of Wrath. Gary Gulman, who is, I think, unbelievably funny. You will laugh. That'll cheer you up. The Grapefruits of Wrath, if you want to. The Grapefruits of Wrath, if you want to look it up. It's 5 minutes. It's clean, pretty much. And it is, I don't know. I think I heard it on Sirius XM, on one of the comedy channels originally, many years ago, actually. And I've subsequently seen him in Gulman's stand-up shows that, you know, that are on TV, like HBO, and I've seen him do it. But this capture of it is perfect. It's almost like it was a new bit, and it's so, you know, once you hear it, and then you hear it subsequently, it doesn't have the, you know, the same impact. But I never got to see Gilbert live, which is I really regret. In fact, Lenny, you know, he was in Saratoga last summer, and Lenny, we tried to get in, but we were too late to latch on and see him.
I did read that. Yeah,
he came to town, and tickets were impossible. They were gone in 30 seconds. So I'll see if Lenny wants to come on and talk about him. But I know yesterday Lenny was pretty shaken by the news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dick, I'm glad you brought it up because we appreciate people like that that made us, you know, that made you make you laugh. Dick Powell, everybody, HKJC. The racing continues about another 10 minutes to the eighth and 5-8-9 in the eighth for Dick. We'll take a break. We come back. We've got
thanks a lot.
We've got a visit with Sid. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale, and obviously a lot to talk about with the three winners with Zandon and Taba. I mean, we haven't really. I don't think we talked about Taba yet at all. So I know that, and Sid sent me something overnight. So I know that he has got some ideas about Taba to discuss. I'm not sure. We probably hit on Mo Donegal, but we'll do it the way we do. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facility.